Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Subterranean Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is August the 5th, 2024, or the first day of Eli, 2028. We will start our second service on this numerous Sabbath with a song and prayer thought taken. And we're going to do number one of Timely Greetings by V.C. Hollis. Number 21, volume 1, number 21, and our prayer thought is going to be taken from that. The name of the sermon is The Church Entered Into and Then the Harvest Through Opening Remarks and Prayer. It says, in the vision of the prophet Ezekiel, there was the appearance of a hand beneath the wings of the cherubim. This is for the teaching of the servant that it is with the divine power that gives them success. Those whom Yahweh employs as his messengers are not to feel that his work is dependent upon them. Finite beings are not left for the carrying out of this burden of the responsibility. For he who slumbers not, he is continually at work for the accomplishment of his design, will carry forward his own work. He will thwart the purposes of the wicked men, and will bring unto confusion the counsels of those who plot mischief against his people. He who is the king shall shield the host sitteth between the cherubim and amid the strife and turmoil of the nation. He guards the silver still. He who ruleth in the heaven is our Savior. He measures every trial. He watches the furnace fire that must test every soul. When the strongholds of the king shall be overthrown, when the arrows of the rest shall strike through the hearts of his enemies, his people will be safe in his hands. What shall we now pray for? I think we should pray to know that Yahweh, not man, is at the head of the world. To know that no man of himself can advance or thwart Yahweh's work. That only Yahweh himself can do either. That we need not fear Yahweh's word to depend upon us. That if we ever remember this, we shall have a closer walk with him. This, I believe, is what we ought to pray for today. And the prayer thought. All right, we go into now our regular sermon. It's the church entering into and the harvest period. Text of address delivered by Richard House, December 28, 1946. No matter now or how, no matter how great and how effective, a revival and reformation, even Yahweh himself may launch in his church, the scriptures make it plain that both the sinner and the saint will be in the church until the harvest. No one need brag that the members of this church are all saints, that they are all of the one accord. If they really are of the one accord, then it must be that they are all church, that there is no saint among them. That's the church, for a certainty is not the church of which the Yahshua speaks in his word. If anything, it's plain in the Bible, this one thing is. Now let us turn to the 13th chapter of the Matthew, Matthew 13, 24, 25. Another pearl came forth unto them, saying, for the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Before men set to anything, and so tares among the wheat and went his way. For the reason given for the tares to be among the wheat is that men slept plainly then. If man had kept awake, the enemy would not have sown the tares. Now, for the ascertaining what it means for men to be awake, we shall read from the third chapter of the Matthew, Matthew 3, 5 and 6. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the land round about Judea. I know about Jordan. Let's do it again. Indeed, in all the region round about the Jordan, and were baptized. Let's do it all again. Matthew 3, verse 5 and 6. Then went out unto him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about the Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. For this scripture makes plain that John the Baptist, many, and that those whom he baptized were only those who confess their sin. Matthew 3, 7 and 8. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come unto his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of the vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring ye forth therefore fruit meet for the repentance. So these were the popular groups of the Zionists. He not only refused to baptize them, but also plainly and politely gave them to understand that baptism is not something with which to cover sin, but something with which to wash them away. He made it clear that he was not in the business of making hypocrites. John left no doubt in their mind that the Yahweh did not have need of them, but that they had need of him. For the Pharisees and the Sadducees then went away with the full knowledge that the great wide awake preacher of the day was not taken up with their popularity, much less with the pettiness of the Johnson, firmness of the promise, and the fact that the Yahshua said no greater prophet than he had ever risen. We know that John was right away, and so all preachers should be. We as the members of the church too should be awake as a sound. and as firm as a jerk, able to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Job 13:50. Matthew 22:9-10. Go ye therefore into the highway, and as many as ye shall bid or find, bid unto the marriage. The servant went out into the highway and gathered together all as many as he found, bread and gifts, and the wedding was furnished with the guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, "Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. So the Yahweh's servants be awake and do their work right, yet some of the members may fail to put on their wedding garment. A garment, you know, is something to put on the outside of the body, for the garment therefore denotes a daily, Yahshua like deportment, the righteousness of the Yahshua and the one's daily life. For the fact that the man in the parable was speechless when asked, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" shows that he was guilty of the neglect, not of the ignorance. He was without excuse, and he knew it. Let us go back to Matthew 25:1-5. "Then shall the kingdom of the heaven," that's the high kingdom we're in today, "the house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver," fulfilling Daniel 2:44-45, "that in the days of these kings shall Yahweh of the heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed left to other people. And this shall stand forever. And this shall stand and consume all these other kingdoms that are here on the earth in these last days, and stand forever." So it says, "Then shall the kingdom of the heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil and their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." Again, it plainly appears that the church membership is divided into the 2 classes, the wise and the foolish. The wise take no chances, continually search for the oil, that is the truth, and they fill their vessels with it at the first opportunity. For the foolish, though, see no need for any more than what is in their lamps, for they are satisfied with what they already have. That's what we see today in the Adventist Church. Those that have heard this truth that we have and never took a hold of it, they are satisfied with what the Seventh-day Adventist has already. They're satisfied with the 3 angels' message, and they don't care about having about no more. For the all is substance which lightens the head of one's path. Obviously, it is figurative of the prophetic truth. Truth that lightens the heart by unveiling the future. Concretely speaking, the lamp filled with the oil denotes the individual reservoir of the truth in action. truth that meets his needs only for the time then present. For the extra oil in the vessel, therefore, represents the additional truth, truth that takes up where the old truth leaves off. In other words, the oil in the lamp and the oil in the vessel represents two revealed truths at the two different times, one following the other. For example, while the judgment for the dead is truth and the action, the judgment for the living is truth to go into action as soon as the judgment for the dead is over. Obviously, all that has been consumed, as is the oil and the virgin's lamp, represents past truth, truth that has accomplished its purpose, that the oil and the vessel represents truth already to be activated and made to shine immeasurably after the oil and the lamp is consumed. Since the 10 virgins represent the church membership during the judgment for the dead, the oil and the lamp manifested represents the truth of the judgment for the dead. For the extra oil that is in the vessel must therefore represent the truth of the judgment for the living, for the additional truth. Such what? Made that comment early writings, page 277. Plainly then, a lamp gone empty represents the judgment for the dead passing away, and the oil in the vessel represents the truth of the judgment for the living going into action. Since all 10 had all in the lamp, but only half of them had the oil in the vessel, the symbolism clearly discloses that, as always, the whole church membership did not accept the message of the judgment for the living, for the foolish virgin was satisfied with the one truth they had acquired while joining the church, that they bore the message of the judgment for the dead, but failed to acquaint themselves with the additional message, the message of the judgment for the living. Finally, after the necessity for it became imperative, they began to search for it, but it did them no good. They were too late getting it. These were left out with the turd, only because they let the devil sow in their hearts seeds of the foolishness, seeds of the contentment, lukewarmness with the initial truth by which they joined the church. Thus they mistakenly fell. No need of the additional light from the Asher, that when the prophecy began to fulfill itself beyond the scope of the divinely revealed knowledge, and as they saw the events of the gospel shaping themselves contrary unto their expectations, they became alarmed and confused, saw themselves in the darkness. For the lesson is unmistakably those who forever feel rich and increased with the goods And then in even the female will not get to the door on time. Besides the tares among the wheat, there are idlers and active folk who are to be cast out and destroyed with the tares. Let us read Matthew 25:14-30. For the kingdom of the heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods, and went unto one, he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, and to another 1, unto every man according unto his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and did in the earth and hid his master's money. After a long time, the share of his servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Master, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His master said unto them, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Master, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my master. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not sowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His master answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not sowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with the usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath the 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not, he shall be taken away even that which he hath. And test ye the unprofitable servant, and to the outer darkness there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For this parable is seen that when a Christian falls asleep, Satan comes along and so seizes the idleness in his heart so as to cause him to be cast out with the tares. At the commencement of the harvest, therefore, this class of the tares is the first to appear as such. It is high time to learn that the religion is not an opiate. There is still another class of church members who, in a different way, fail, a fall victim with the tares. This we shall see from Matthew 25:31-46. When the Son of Man, Matthew 25:31-46, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he shall sit his sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Master, when saw we thee and hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee not, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in a prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I wasn't hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, and naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Master, when saw we thee and hungry, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall they answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. For the most outstanding sin of the goat class of the professed believers is that they are all for self and none for others. For the sheep class are the opposite in charity, since those who do the charity work and not to make a display of it, not to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, Matthew 6:3, and since the system of such benevolent work is clearly pointed out in the Hebrew economy, we would do well to look there for it, to promote the assembling of the people for the religious service, as well as to provide for the poor a second tithe of all the increase was required. Concerning the first tithe, the Yahshua had declared, I have given the children of the Levi all the tenth in Israel, but in regard unto the second, and he commanded, thou shalt eat before the Yahweh thy Yahweh, in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, for the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flock, that thou mayest learn to fear the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, always. Thus the tithe are its equivalent in money. They were for 2 years to bring to the place where the sanctuary was established, after presenting a thank offering to the Yahweh, and a specified portion to the priest. The others were to use the remainable for a religious feast, in which the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow should participate. Thus provision was made for the thank offerings and feast at the yearly festival, and the people were drawn to the society of the priests and Levites, that they might receive instruction and encouragement in the service of the Yahweh. That's a quote from Patriarchs and Prophets 5:30. For this work to be carried out systematically by the Yahshua's treasury through the gifts and free will offering, sometimes called second tithe, we cannot but own likewise, if we are to find favor with the Yahweh. Now back to Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasures hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Matthew 13:45-46. Again, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. These parables distinctly point out that those who do not care to invest everything they possess, if need be, to obtain their kingdom, are to be cast out with the terror. Matthew 13:47-48. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea, and get it at every time, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel to chase the bad away. And it cast into the sea, naturally catches good and bad, small and large fish, but fish, like all other living creatures, move in the family, each species with its kind. And so each time the net is cast, it catches families of fish. So it is that the gospel, or the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, and Hebrews 12, 18 to 24, in many instances, naturally brings in the family and relatives all in the one church, that is, as parents, accept teaching of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, that salvation is through his blood, and the sanctuary of the New Testament, and it is shown right there in Hebrews chapter 12, 18 to 24, how he does it with the blood of sprinkling on a daily basis as our high priest in heaven's sanctuary. Along with them are often brought the children and even relatives and friends. The bad fish represents those who, with no real knowledge and conversion of their own, but through the emotion and the influence of others, join the church. So it is that those who never studiously, wholeheartedly, and zealously take hold of the principles of the Yahshua are cast out, there to perish with the church. All who are too lazy to study and who give the devil a chance to sow devilish seed in their heart, making them believe that the preachers are the ministers will take them through the pearly gates, having no experience of their own, are cheated of the eternal life. They instead get eternal death. True enough, the spirit of the Yahweh causes people to become one thing, and the spirit of Satan causes them to become another thing. But the difference is discernible only as a harvest time approaches, when the truth of the harvest is revealed. From these simple parables comes the fact that Satan raises terrors in the church and even tries his level best to keep them in it. Why? Let us find the answer in Revelation 12, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the devil saw that he was no longer permitted entrance into the heaven, he went to persecute the church after she brought forth the man-child. For the dragon, therefore, is to persecute the church in her Christian period. And that's the period we're in now, Revelation 12:14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and time and half a time from the face of the serpent. Because of the persecution, the church was given a means by which to take her flight from the promised land of vengeance into the land of the Gentiles, the wilderness, Revelation 12:15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away. At the beginning, the serpent persecuted the church. But as he saw that the church still grew and prospered, he reversed his tactics and began instead to persecute the pagans who would not join the church. They wouldn't join the Catholic Church that had captured the apostolic church members. The only ones that the Catholic Church didn't capture, they were called Imperial Rome at that time, at the cross, was those that fled Jerusalem. And then after that, those that fled into the wilderness after 538 A.D. to get away from the old dragon during the Dark Ages, and raised ministers by whom to bring in a flood of the unconverted, by which to paganize the church so that she could not Christianize them. Revelation 12:16. So, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Thus is the church purified, and thus are the terrors destroyed. As terrors, they are burned as unprofitable workers. They are cast into the outer darkness, there to weep and to gnash their teeth as unfit guests for their wedding, for they are bound hand and foot and cast out into the outer darkness as a foolish virgin. They are refused entrance as goats. They are sent into the everlasting punishment as the dragons fled, for they are slaughtered by the earth. But the actual thing that happens to them, all in common, is fully described in the Ezekiel's prophecy, chapter 9. Let us turn to it. Ezekiel chapter 9, 1 to 11. We call also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every man with a slaughter weapon in his hand. One man among them was clothed with the linen, with the rider's acorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Yahweh of the Israel was drawn up from the church, whereupon he went to the threshold of the house, and he called unto the man clothed with the linen, which had the rider's acorn by his side. And Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city. That's the Seventh-day Adventist church. This is a prophecy for her. It's from 1844 until the judgment of the living. So through the midst of the Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that saw it and cried for all the abominations that had done in the midst thereof. And unto the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, that neither our spear neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin my sanctuary. And they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the same. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city the seventh day of Israel during the judgment of the living, for the bringing forth of the first fruits harvest of 144,000. That's when this prophecy made its fulfillment. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was led, and I fell upon my face and cried and said, O Yahweh, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel? And that residue of Israel is the tribe of Judah, believe it or not, the house of David. And pouring out of thy fury upon Yahushua. Then said he unto me, for the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah, the residue is exceedingly great, and the land is full of the blood, and the city full of the perverse blood. They say, Yahweh hath forsaken the earth, and Yahweh seeth not. Now let's do it again. For they say, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, hath forsaken the earth, and Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and he seeth not. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have it, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man, clothed with the linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, that was Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, reported the matter unto the father, and Yahweh said, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Now here it says that, for the promise to purify Jerusalem, Judah, and Israel stands as sure as any promise in the word. For the times Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, you know, can not be applied unto anything but unto the church of Seventh Day Adventist. For the place where everyone should sigh and cry against the abomination, those who do not sigh and cry are to be left without the mark. And then the angels who have charge of the church smite every one of them, old and young, both the maids and little children and women. Only those who have a mark shall be left. They are the remnant, for the angels are thus to take care of both the wheat and the tares. Yes, there is to be a clean riddance of every sort of terror. Just as anciently there was a clean riddance of all the firstborn in the household that failed to paint the doorpost with the sacrificial blood on the evening of the Passover in the land of the Egypt, so shall it be at the commencement of the harvest and the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. For the angel shall smite everyone who the abomination in the midst thereof. When is this thorough purging to take place? For the answer, let us turn to Zephaniah chapter 1. Zechariah 1, 2, and 3. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, said Yahshua. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea, and the stomach locks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, said Yahweh. Here is a promise that Yahweh is to thoroughly cleanse the land, and I am sure none of you will say that these prophecies have ever been fulfilled. Zephaniah 1:4-5. I will also stretch out my hand upon the Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the channel of Merim, with the priest, and them that worship the host of the heaven upon the housetop, and them that worship and that swear by Yahweh, and that swear by the Malcolm or the Malcham. Not only is the land, but the people are to make up the house of the Judah. That's the house. That's the lawgiver, the tribe of David. And that share is of that tribe. Are to be cleansed. There is to be a clean land and a clean people as well. Zechariah 1:6. And them that are turned back from the Yahshua, and those that have not sought the Yahshua, nor inquired for him, for the backslider and the indifferent, those who are unstable, and those who see no need of the other, are to perish along with the two. If not one said, hold thy peace at the presence of the Yahweh, for the day of the Yahshua is at hand. For Yahshua hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath feared his guest. And I wrote that song, O come to the banquet dine, for the Savior waits to greet you at the head of the line. He can still change the water into wine, so come everyone to the banquet dine. This is the long expected great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, the Father, when he sends his Son to host this banquet here on earth, and his kingdom that he has given to his Son upon the throne of David. That's in Luke 1:31, 2 and 3, the prophecy of Isaiah 9:68. Zephaniah 1:8, and this shall come to pass in the day of the Yahshua sacrifice, and I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with a strange apparel. Zephaniah 1:9-11. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's house with their violence and deceit, and it shall come to pass. And that is, says the Yahweh, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hill. How ye inhabitants of the Mekesh, all the merchants' people, are cut down. How many that hear that bear silver are cut off. For the great passion shall be from both the fish gates and from the hills, from the land and from the sea, both the servants that bring violence and the sheep upon their master's houses, and their wicked masters themselves shall be punished. Zephaniah 1, 12 to 18. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with the candle, and punish the men that are settled on their leaves, that say in their heart, Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. For they shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. For the great day of Yeshua is near. It is near, and haste is greater, even the voice of the day of Yeshua. That voice comes from the antipical Elijah. And he comes out of time four times here in the last day, before the great judgment day of Yahweh sends his son Yeshua. To suddenly come to the temple, Malachi 3. For the mighty man shall cry there bitterly, as saying, for that day is as a day of the wrath, a day of the trouble and distress, as a day of the wasteness and desolation, as a day of the darkness and of gloominess, as a day of the clouds and of the thick darkness, as a day of the tempest and alarm against the fenced city and against the high tower. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against Yahweh, and their blood shall be poured out as the dust, and their flesh as a dung, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day that Yeshua is left, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. For the time of the day of Yeshua is poured out by the increased wrath, trouble, distress, wasteness, desolation, darkness, and gloominess, in a time in which no one knows what to do to avert disaster, in a time of the soul must fear, even by the cities that are best fortified. So far as I know, there has never been the like. For the world's condition of today is as the only condition that makes the challenge of these prophecies. Since this is true, then this is the day in which Yahshua is to search Jerusalem with the candle. This is the day in which he will to cleanse his people from the sin and sinners. It is a great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. This brings in verse 10 this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Alright, let us continue and finish out this one time of greeting. Number 21. We're on page 19, and it only goes three pages more. Matthew 3, 1 to 5. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And thy servant, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger, which is the answer for Elijah, of Malachi 4:5, of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Spirit of the host. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soul, and he shall sit as a refiner, and a purifier of the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as the gold and silver, and he shall purify purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahweh, as in the days of old and as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcery, and against the adultery, and against the false word, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages. For the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his lot, and fear not, they said, yes, sir, the host. Should we not now consider ourselves as the most fortunate people in the world? For knowing these things beforehand, shall we not be glad and thankful for having been warned beforehand that we have come almost to the time of the harvest of the first fruits of the 144,000 in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, at the end of the 11th parabolic hour that ended in 2002 and 2003, and that we have been given the opportunity to make ready for it? Shall we not be glad that we are not left in the darkness, and that we are now plainly shown that these are the closing hours of the pre-harvest period, that the harvest will soon begin? Revelation 18:1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. For the fulfillment of this scripture, as for this called a loud cry of the third angel's message. But note that the whole earth is lightened with his glory. Let us now take notice of what happened after that sea anger that permeates the earth after the earth is thus light with the glory of the angel of Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of the devil, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Ah, after the earth is lightened, and it is that Babylon falls plainly, then Babylon has not actually fallen as yet. In fact, Babylon has not even come into the existence yet, where she is yet to mount, rule the beast, that has ruled the world. See Revelation 17 and chart number 12. For the world yesterday, today and tomorrow. Revelation 18:4. And I heard another angel, another voice from the heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of the sin, and that she receive not of her pledge. This voice from heaven, you see, comes to Yahweh's people after the earth is lightened with the loud cry of the angel. The burden of the voice is that Yahweh's people should come out of the Bible so that they be not the partakers of her sin and receive not of her faith. If on this account they must come out of the Bible, then it must be that the place into which they are called to come is free from sin, and thus free from the danger of the place. And where could that be but in the purified land and church of the Yahweh? And that purified land today, we want to recognize also as the geographical location of Texas here in the United States. It's going to be set aside as a purified land, just like Israel is. And where could that be? In the purified land and in the purified house of Yahweh, church of David, everlasting kingdom of David, with Yahshua set upon the throne of David, during the 12th prophetic hour that we're in now, where there is no more sin and no more sinners to endanger the peace of Yahweh's people. Vain indeed it would be if the people were called from one place of sin and brought into another place of sin. As clear as crystal it is that the purification of the church cleansing and the late 14, judgment of the living, 1 Peter 4:17, taking place before the loud cry of the third angel message begins in the world before the Yahweh's people are called out of the Babylon. First they're called out of the house of Israel, instead of dead in the church, and next they're called out of Babylon for the world. For the third, in other words, they're called out of the Catholic Church that has control now of all the churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church. For the third angel's message is to lighten the earth with its glory, but only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the Mighty One will be permitted to act a part in the proclaiming of the plan of salvation of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10:19-20, and Hebrews chapter 12:18-24. It shall have swelled unto the loud cry. Most Christians know that there are two classes in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. No matter of fact, in all the churches that had gone before, there's only two classes. The Lutherans, and the Presbyterians, and Methodists, and Baptists. But the few, if any, seem to care. We as the Reformers, though, especially since we have been given this great light on the subject, cannot afford to be indifferent. We may now intelligently choose to be weak, or choose return. If after knowing this truth, some choose to be turned, they will have gained nothing and need not be surprised when they land in hell. At the time, labor and chapter are in a clash. It is that the salvation, the church, shall be searched as it were with the candle. Consequently, the men who have settled in their houses, those who act as those that share as for second year, shall have their punishment. Not only do we behold and feel the day of the Yahshua approaching, but even hear their voice. This brings us to the end of our one time greetings, number 21 altogether. Okay. Let's suppose we've got 11 minutes on this last section of time greeting, number 21.